Welcome to the podcast that teaches you how to transform your life and your business. Here is your host, Rick Hyland, and this is CI for Life.
Hey, welcome to another Continuous Improvement for Life podcast. I'm Rick Hyland. I'm here with my very special guest, Brooke Bishop. Brooke, how are you doing today?
Doing very, very good. Super, super pumped to be here with you, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're going to talk sales. Where are you calling from today?
I'm in Northern Colorado. So I'm up in Fort Collins. I'm about pretty parallel with where you're at on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. I love Fort Collins. Great little community there and growing. So before we get going into some of the sales tips that we're going to talk about today, why don't you give us a little bit of your background and history? And you've had some interesting experiences with some very famous people. Why don't you chuck that in there too?
Yeah, no, I've had a very interesting road over the course of time. So my world's been in the world of personal development for 20, coming up on 25 years, which is even crazy to say now. But I've got to work with the biggest names in the game. So I got to work with a gentleman named Brian Buffini, who was, he's one of the biggest trainers in the world of real estate sales training. I got to work with John Assaraf, a lot of the, all the people you've probably seen on The Secret. I got to do a ton of work with people in various other capacities, practice management. The biggest name person I spent the bulk of my career working with was a gentleman named Tony Robbins. So I got 15 years working with Tony. I actually started out in sales with him.
Nice.
And in cracking the code on that end, he wanted me to take that system and that strategy and replicate it across other departments. In doing that, then took over, I would say, three quarters of the company. Before I decided to jump and then go out on my own.
Oh, that's exciting. Some big names there. And I'm sure you'll tie in some of your experiences there as we go through some of the sales tips. So what we wanted to do for the listeners today is just to give you some of the common errors or practices or some sales tips around how to handle, for example, enroll clients in a difficult market, handling objections, creating urgency to close, all that kind of good stuff. So buckle up, let's go through these one at a time and kind of give people your insights on some of these crucial topics in sales. So why don't we start with the objection side? What is your tips and tricks to handling objections? Because they do come, expect them to come. How do you handle them?
So first and foremost, you have to make a declaration that you're not going to contract when an objection comes up.
Yes.
It's the cardinal mistake that most people make. An objection hits, the mindset of the salesperson is usually like, you've got to be kidding me. And then they get emotional and they either go superior or they go inferior. And then all hell breaks loose. So the first critical piece is, number one is you have to know objections will happen. Now you also need to know that pretty much every objection under the sun is going to fall into one of four camps. So it's either budget, for anyone who's ever heard the acronym BANT, budget, authority, need, and timing. So it's going to be one of those four pieces. It's either not the right time, right? They don't have a need for it. They are not in a position to make a decision, or the money just doesn't make sense, whether they don't see that there's enough value, or they don't have the money to pay for it, or they're not willing to get resourceful for it. Now, this is a very different take that we have when it comes to objections. We don't see objections as things that have to be overcome.
Okay.
We see objections as limiting beliefs. So in the world of coaching or personal development, what is a limiting belief? Well, it's a belief that somebody holds that's standing in the way of the result or the outcome they want. So anytime an objection comes up in my world or for our salespeople's world, it's an opportunity for a conversation to dig deeper. Now, what happens for most salespeople is they're that far down the road and they're like, the last thing is I just need your credit card, right? And so to muster up more energy to have a hard conversation or to be able to dig in and unearth that with a prospective client, that's where you've got to have the magic. You've got to have that energy and you've got to be able to dig deep when it counts.
And not let it rock you and set you back in your mindset, right?
Yes. Yeah. And you also have to be willing to have that dialogue of, look, if you're willing to hang on to your limiting belief, if you want to hang on to that fear, or if you want to use that your excuse or your story, if you're willing to hang on to that instead of getting this promised land of whatever your product or service is going to give them, like, you have to have that hard dialogue and be willing to let them go, knowing that they're gonna hang on to that story rather than get the result that they're going after.
Yeah, that is so well said. I mean, that is already value. I'm sure anybody involved in sales listening will getting that mindset that this is just an opportunity to go deeper and understand their needs and understand where they're at and embrace that and try to turn it into, this is a great part of the process, not, oh no, they have an objection, they're not ready to buy right now.
Well, and within that, I mean, this hooks into the urgency piece of it. If you're not asking the right questions earlier in your sales engagement, if you're not doing a true proper discovery, there's two big ass things that are going to be popping up. One, you're going to get a lot of objections. If you don't dig so freaking deep to figure out what it is that they really want, what the heaven is if they get it, what the hell is if they don't. And if you don't have urgency, if you don't know what their timeline is, be prepared to have a lot of objections at the back of your sales engagement.
Right. Yeah. If you can capture those needs right up front, you can easily pre-handle a lot of that bant, you know, including who are the decision makers in your discovery questions, or what is your sales goal? Do you want to improve 50% over the next year? Oh, mental note, right? You've just given me some urgency. So yeah, let's jump to that question and see if there's anything else that you would do to create urgency for the close.
Yes. And urgency is a critical piece, right? So when we look at any sales engagement, there's three questions we have to be answering through the whole process of our sales engagement. One is, why should I change? Whether that's, why should I change my behavior? Why should I change the carrier I'm currently working with? Why should I change my services that I'm currently using? Yep. So that's the first one. The second is, why now? Which we'll double click on here in one moment. Okay. And the third is, why should they choose you? Now, what you're going to notice, that third, why should they choose you? Most people in a sales engagement, they're usually starting with, here's why I'm the greatest thing ever. And they do it backwards. They lead with themselves versus digging in. So the why change now, though. So I want to give some tips and tricks on this.
Please.
The most critical piece of creating urgency is you want to find out how long they've been experiencing whatever they're experiencing, and how long are they willing to continue experiencing what they're experiencing. And this is the real mission critical piece, what is the meaning that they give that?
Yeah.
So I'll give you context around this. So if you ask somebody, so let's pretend it's a car. Okay. So somebody's selling a car. Great. So you have a prospect who comes on the car lot. You're asking them questions. What kind of car do you want? All these blah, 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 blah. Okay. So one of those questions should be, what are you currently driving? Oh my gosh. How long have you had that? What do you love about that vehicle? Clearly, if you're looking for a new vehicle, I'd have to assume there's something that you don't like about it.
Right.
Right. Well, how long have you been in that car? And in terms of why you're here today, what prompted you to come here today? And when would you like to be sitting in that new car? Like, what's your timeline? How much fire do you have in you right now? We need to know that timeline. Because when we get to the end, if they go, oh, I want to think about it. Oh, I'm going to go test drive some more. Like, you need to know what their internal timeline is and how long they're going to be willing to stay in the pain of wherever they're at.
Yeah. Really well said. And that only happens with a really good discovery, not just jumping to your pitch too early.
And one other big rule on that, when you're in discovery, if there's one golden nugget that people pull from this episode, do not sell at all when you're in discovery.
Amen.
So if somebody says, oh, I want a new car. Cool. What color car do you want? Oh, I want a black car. Let me go show you all the black cars on the lot. Like, don't go straight into that. Like, you've got to get all the pieces to the puzzle before you start selling.
Oh, Brooke, this is good stuff. Okay, let's move to one of the other little tips and tricks. But I love where you're going so far. Tough environment today for sales. We have to dig deep and maybe change from being an order taker to a hunter, right? Because the economy's tough and spend is down. How do I generate new clients in this type of market that we're in 2024?
Really good question. So full transparency. Where I cut my teeth with Tony. So I started working with Tony in 2006. So what came very quickly thereafter,
just,
that was
just before 2008.
2008. Now, what I also didn't know is there was only a few months of time that apparently the doors were going to be kept open because they didn't have money for ad spend. So I was in an environment doing sales with an ad spend that was that big. Mm. Right. And I was in a straight commission role. So I had to get real creative and I had to be really thorough and I had to be both a farmer and a hunter. So what came up huge in that window of time was there was two really, really big pieces. Number one is I had to focus more on being resourceful versus blaming our lack of resources. So that was a critical piece. Whereas I saw a lot of my peers, they were frustrated that there was no ad spend or that the company wasn't providing them leads. I had to turn that story off real quick, right? Because I had no control over it.
If you don't, that will limit your success.
Yep. Yep. And the second part is I had to go, what are all of the lead sources I do have access to? So one thing that I learned that was really good was from Brian Buffini. He taught for realtors, he taught referral-based marketing strategies. So it's very relational compared to everyone else in that industry, which was very transactional. So I applied that to my role with Tony. So the first thing I went to is I went, where are our strongest relationships? Right. So I figure if I have 100 people that are our strongest relationships, if they each give me one lead a quarter, I'm going to blow my numbers out of the water.
Mm.
Right. So that was the first piece. So I went back to my relationships. And what can happen is when there's bloat in a business structure, we get very complacent or comfortable, especially if we have paid advertising strategies or if we've got lead magnets or we've got these different things bringing leads in, we usually let go of our relationships. So that's the first thing. Always, always, always go back to relationships.
Amen.
Second, easiest way to get business in tough times, your previous clients. So yes, go for referrals from your A++ peeps, but just simply reaching out to people who have done business with you in the past. I cannot tell you, we did a training last week with about 400 business owners that were on. And I told them about the toilet method. Have you ever heard of the toilet method?
Oh, tell.
All right. So I asked, you know, it's 400 people. I go, hey, by a show of hands, who here goes on the toilet every single day? You know, everyone's hands went up. I go, cool. So I go, who here takes their cell phone with them when they go to the toilet? Right. Everyone's hands went up.
It was a pretty high percentage. Yep.
It was a pretty high percentage. Apparently, there was a couple of people that were backed up, but we won't go there.
Okay.
But the next thing I mentioned to them is I said, look, if all you did each day was just text message five people, hey, been thinking about you and the family, just wanted to check in and see how you're doing. If you just made it a rule when you went to the toilet and you messaged five people, well, guess what? That's 35 people a week. That's 150 people a month that you're reaching out to purely to maintain a relationship and a connection with. And it's no extra time. You're already sitting on the toilet. So instead of looking at Facebook or Instagram or whatever, just touch base with five people and you're going to get leads. You're going to get referrals. You're going to get some of those clients. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, I was thinking about you. I need to come back. Yep.
And to your point, right? It doesn't have to be a sell or about business. It could be about their favorite team or their family or, you know,
how's little Billy doing?
Yeah.
Yep. So the relationships in tough times, relationships will always prevail. One thing that we know is leads are not going to get cheaper, especially as inflation creeps up, especially as social media, as they're clamping down, trying to make more money. If you're doing paid advertising in those channels, do they work? Yes. Are they going to get cheaper? Probably not. So in tough times, go back to relationships. The other one is, and this is another really critical piece, the business you're in and the business you're becoming are two very different things. So what's brought your business? Yeah. So what's brought your business to where it is in this moment, you're going to have to consistently be getting outside the box for new ways of driving leads.
Yeah. Yeah. You might be using podcasts or webinars and it's worked well for a year and a half, but now you saturated it. So now let's go back to another tool and just keep learning, keep experimenting, keep finding out what your top three lead generation items are, with including relationships and following up with past clients. I love that. And
I'm seeing stuff that used to work that stopped for a while, like direct response marketing.
Yep.
Right. Mailers.
Yep.
Even door knocking for certain things, depending on what it is, that stuff is actually having an effect again, because a lot of people stopped doing it. So there's not that saturation. The other one too, is whether it's trade shows or whether it's speaking engagements, getting active, I think is just a huge piece. That the tendency is when the world gets tough or when the world contracts, if you contract with it, you're screwed. So when the world contracts, you have to expand and get more creative and get outside the box.
Oh man. Well said. I can tell you've been through the ups and downs, and that's great advice. Okay. Speaking of ups and downs, sales is an emotional roller coaster game. right? And you get a lot more rejection than you do success. What advice do you have on managing through those ups and downs?
Yes. So in the world of sales, if we think of the roller coaster, when you're tracking or when you're looking at your revenue or when you're looking at sales, usually what follows right there is your emotions. And that's either good, bad, or indifferent. The third thing that follows in that sequence is action.
Okay.
So where your focus is, your attention's going to, which is going to trigger your emotions. And then wherever those emotions are, then triggers the action. This is why you get salespeople that kick ass for a month, right? And they do big numbers. And then they're like, woohoo, I'm good. I'm going to take my foot off the gas.
Yeah.
And then when their numbers dip, they go, oh crap, their emotions fire off. And then their actions go up again. And that's where you get that roller coaster. So what you really want to do is you really want to pay attention to what KPIs and how are we celebrating it? And there has to be a focal point or a purpose that goes beyond just the commission.
Yeah.
If you've got salespeople that are 100% commission driven, while that's important, and yes, they'll make you money, they are also the ones that are most likely to have the roller coaster.
Yeah. And I like your advice. I mean, when I was running the 230 person consulting company, the people that partners that were successful year over year constantly had a steady foot on the, because in consulting and coaching, it's easy to go service clients, get busy, create great results, change. And then all of a sudden some things drop off and you need to go back and recrank the sales wheel again. And by that time, it takes a lot of synergy energy to get that flywheel going again. But if you can consistently, no matter what peak and valley you're in, consistently apply those same principles, embrace the process of the funnel and rather than just going through the highs and lows of big wins and big losses or big sales. And any comment on that?
Yeah. So one thing, just if you have a sales team, or if you're a sales individual, is you really do want to have daily check-ins. And it doesn't mean you have to have a meeting with them. It doesn't mean you have to have a phone call or anything of that nature. I'm a big fan of leveraging tech for certain pieces of the puzzle. So one of the things we have with our sales team, as an example, they have to fill out an end of day report in Slack. So Slack, anyone who's not familiar with Slack, dear God, help us. But if you don't know what Slack is, as a communication tool that we use internally, we have a form that our sales team has to fill out at the end of the day. It's what were my wins today? What were my ahas? How am I feeling about tomorrow? It's just those three simple questions. And the reason we ask them, we want them to focus on the progress and the victories. You'll notice we didn't say what failures did you have? We said ahas. So ahas are the learnings because we really want to keep our sales team in a space of curiosity. If they go critical, they're screwed. So we do everything we can to keep their brain highlighted on what can I do to be curious? How can I be curious? How can I be curious? Because if they go critical with themselves, they're going to go critical with their prospect. They are not going to be an influencer. They're not going to enroll. Oh. That third piece is how do you feel about tomorrow?
Yeah.
This is our little emotional gauge. So we can see if we see any red flags of like, oh, I don't have any meetings tomorrow. I'm scared. Whatever that emotional scale is, that's our way of getting ahead of the train. So we don't let a week go by where their psychology is sideways and they've now burned all their leads and now we're in a problem.
Well said. Wow, that is a great little tip there too. Okay, and in your writings, you also talk about this idea of selling with integrity or not selling your soul. Can you make a comment there about the importance of integrity, obviously, but what's your tips on not selling your soul?
Yeah, so it was really interesting when my first week actually selling with Tony, this was back in 2006, you know, my mindset was really in the space of, okay, cool. I get a lead, they get on my calendar, you know, I have a sales conversation with them and now I have to enroll them into something. And while that's kind of like the obvious sales cycle for many, I had a client who came on the call and he goes, hey, Brooke, I just want to let you know, depending on where this call goes, this is now a life and death situation. I just want to let you know, I have a gun on my lap and depending on where the call goes is going to determine whether or not I pull the trigger.
Wow.
He goes, I've spent years in therapy. I've taken every drug under the moon for my depression. I'm at the end of my road. So in that moment, I hit mute. I had a lot of swear words that came out of my mouth because I didn't know what I was going to do with this. but I had to step into a different space and I had to have a completely different paradigm of like what it is that I'm doing in that moment. It was not about getting this person's credit card or selling them a product or service.
Yeah.
It was about, I've got a soul that's on the other side of this phone. And the only thing that's there in this moment is me. And so I had to say my own little prayer in that moment and go, okay, speak through me, do something, give me the tools to be able to help this person. And the fascinating piece was what I recognized after that is that person just had the courage to tell me that's where they were at. And how many people didn't?
Right.
And so from that vantage point, I re-looked at my entire sales process to reverse engineer. Instead of enrolling them in my product or service, I went, how do I help people? How do I save them? Right?
A totally different frame. Even though you might be saying similar words, totally different mindset and framework to approach them with.
Well, and before I was trying to push everybody up the hill, right? And instead I went, hey, it's something that might sound so subtly simple.
Yeah.
But instead of me going, hey, I'm going to push your rear end up the hill. Instead I went, do you want to go up the hill? Do you want me to go with you? Do you want to get up there faster? And just by shifting the frame and getting more into a question-based framework versus me telling them what they needed to do, it allowed me to stay in alignment and serve them based on what they wanted and where they were going and how they wanted to be communicated with, which was very different than the traditional sales approach, which is say these things this way every time, you'll get this percentage and away we roll.
My goodness. Brooke Bishop, you've just in 20, 25 minutes added so much value, so much insight. How do people find you if they want more from you, either email or websites or any tools that you have available? Give us a pick.
If anyone's in sales, if you're in business, dear Lord, you should please see yourself as a salesperson, even if you're not on the front line.
Agreed.
But if you've got salespeople on your team, if you want to check out our recipe for either a B2B or a B2C sales engagement, it's called closeeveryone.com. We've got a free toolkit that's on there. It gives you like a structured step-by-step. We have a 7-step sales process. But yeah, you literally can see that. It gives you a very, a high overview of that flow and that process. What I can tell you is this, most people are trying to figure out what to do in a sales process, whereas this toolkit shows you what not to do, which more times than not is actually more valuable than what to go do. So I would just, if anyone's wanting to radically ramp up their sales, if they're not getting 30 to 40% conversion rate, definitely check it out. It's it's next level and it gives you a very clear roadmap, or it gives your salespeople a very clear roadmap of how to handle those conversations.
And you have both B2C and B2B because they're often very different techniques, tools, tips. So
it's the flow, the recipe is the same, but how you position your solution is different. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Any closing advice to business owners, sales professionals, anything else you want to leave with them?
You asked a really important question earlier, which is in tough times, how do you navigate? In tough times, most people usually turn down their marketing spend and they usually take away their skill set. They don't continue to sharpen their iron when it comes to their sales. In tough times, increase your sales skill set. That's when you have to boost your influencing capacities because again, marketing costs are going to go up and down. Your skill set, you can always, always, always improve. It's not going to have that up and down flow. So tough times, really get good at selling.
Wow. Amen. Well said, Brooke Bishop. Find him at closeeveryone.com. Really appreciate your time today. Well done and well said. Take care.
Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it.
You bet.